or another mental health professional, they would probably tell us that at the moment we are living in the age of anxiety. The number of people being treated for things like anxiety and depression has never been higher. I wonder why this is the case. Maybe it is because we are more aware of mental health problems today than perhaps in the past. And maybe we are more likely to talk about the things that we need to talk about and hopefully seek help when we need it. Or maybe now, in today's world, with the access that we have to social media and news on our phones and on our smart speakers and televisions, it means that the troubles of the world are always in our immediate consciousness. Climate breakdown, war, natural disaster, the cost of living crisis. It feels as though each week brings its own new worries and concerns, and it's very easy to feel overwhelmed by it all. Now, I wonder what we might say here today if we did a straw poll about the things that worry us at this present time. Now, I'm not going to ask, but I'm sure that there are all sorts of things that weigh on our minds that cause us various levels of concern. And I think importantly to say here, our worries and our concerns are legitimate. I have my own things that I worry about that keep me up at night. So how are we to react to Jesus saying, "Don't worry about it"? It feels almost a bit glib to say, "Don't worry," when there is so much to worry about. But let's look a little bit more closely at what is happening here today. And if you want to, you can look in your Bibles to chapter 6. Today's passage comes from the Sermon on the Mount. So we need to make sure that what we are hearing Jesus say is in its proper context. The Sermon on the Mount is a little bit like a manifesto. It lays out how people ought to be living if they want to be in a strong relationship with God. It sort of takes apart the letter of the law, all the rules and the guidelines and the do's and don'ts, and it reveals to us instead the spirit of the law, the principles that make for a good, moral human life. So in this sermon, we hear Jesus saying things like, "You have heard it said, do not commit murder. But I say to you, do not be angry with one another." He says this because what he's doing is he's going broader than what the law says. He's talking about the root of the problem, anger, not the terrible end result, which is murder. It is anger that is the start of the problem, the resentment and the hatred that builds up and up, and if it's not dealt with, might one day spill over into violence. So Jesus tells the crowds, if we deal with the problem when it is just anger, we won't be in danger of committing worse crimes later on. Building a strong relationship with God, living a moral life, is about waylaying temptation and evil before they really start to take hold. And that theme is what is continuing on in the reading that we heard today about not worrying. It's interesting to note that today's passage on not worrying about things comes straight after Jesus saying this: "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Now, just a little note on that. The word we translate as wealth can also be translated as property or belongings. It's not just about money. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and wealth. You have to pick. You have to choose. And Jesus is asking us to choose. Now, this is as, or was, as challenging then to the people who first heard this sermon as it is to us today. Just like 2,000 years ago, our material belongings, our stuff, is important to us. It helps define who we are. And that is the point that Jesus is trying to press home. The point of what Jesus is saying is this: we, as human beings, are not self-sufficient. We always find meaning in something beyond ourselves, whether it's our belongings, our career, our dream home, our perfect car, our social connections, our status in the community, whatever it might be. These are all things that help to define who we are in our own minds. But they are also things that we can begin to obsess over. And that is where the danger lies. The challenge from Jesus is to shift our focus away from the material things of our belonging and towards finding our meaning in God. Because ultimately, we end up serving the things that we desire. And if it's not God, then whatever it is, it's an idol. Now, this is a lesson that we often learn the hard way. Everything can become an idol if it draws us away from God and starts to erode the moral life. I once went to a monastery on a retreat, and I was having a chat with one of the monks. I was struggling with contemplative prayer, so I asked his advice. No matter how hard I tried to still my mind and be close to God, intrusive thoughts just kept coming in, and I couldn't find silence. And that monk got straight to the root of the problem. This is what he said to me, and I remember it so clearly. You have made silence an idol. Forget trying to achieve silence and focus instead on just being with God in the moment. Who knows? Maybe God is trying to speak to you through those thoughts that you're trying to push out. I won't go into the whole ins and outs of it, but it worked. But what a revelation! Even prayer can become an idol if we make it all about ourselves. So when Jesus says, don't worry, it's not a casual dismissal of the things that concern us. It's a reminder to not allow the things to control us, the things of the world around us, to control us and become the things that we serve, even if unwittingly. Instead, let's bring our concerns to God, who hears our prayers and has wisdom far beyond our imagining. So Jesus ends with these words: strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So when you find yourself concerned, worried, unsure of where to go or what path to take, if it feels like darkness is closing in, seek first the righteousness of the kingdom. Serve there, and you will find the way becomes clear, the clouds lift, and you will know that God is with you. Amen.